Hi, this is Rich Scheidner. If you've ever wondered what it was like to be a stand-up comedian in the 1980s, I'm going to do you a big favor. Instead of billions of dollars for a time machine, you can just spend $24.95 and buy my new book, Kicking Through the Ashes, My Life as a Stand-Up in the 1980s Comedy Boom. It will save you money and give you thrills. It will take you there. Go to my website, richscheidner.com. Go to amazon.com and buy this book.
Hi, I'm Lisa Roth, co-creator and creative director of Rockabye Baby Music, and you're watching Mr. Media.
I'm Bob Andelman, and this is a Mr. Media interview. You can see, hear, and read more than 1,000 of my previous celebrity interviews at MrMedia.com. That's MRMedia.com. Subscribe to the show on YouTube, iTunes, Apple News, Google Play, or Stitcher, and please follow us on Twitter and Facebook. On today's show, I'll welcome Lisa Roth, co-creator and creative director of Rockabye Baby, a line of albums that take popular hits by top musical artists from Taylor Swift to The Grateful Dead and Aerosmith to Fall Out Boy and reimagines them as lullabies for, well, babies. No, I'm not kidding. And Lisa Roth knows a little something about rock and roll. Her brother, David Lee, is rock royalty. Yep, that David Lee. Stick around. This is as infantile as this show will ever get, folks. The first rock and roll my infant son heard almost 20 years ago was AC/DC's Highway to Hell. I know I'm a bad parent. It was the first time we were alone in the minivan. Charlie was maybe, I don't know, a week old, and I was dying to hear some familiar tunes. I also wanted my kid to get acclimated to my taste in music. I remember wishing that there were songs that I could listen to over and over again with him that, well, wouldn't make me unconscious. Now, today's parents have that opportunity. Lisa Roth's company, Rockabye Baby, takes hits we all know and love and painstakingly adapts them for the tender ears of newborns and infants. It's sort of, well, elevator music for the next generation, whatever they might be collectively called. There are 76 different Rockabye Baby albums. More than 1.8 million have been sold to date, including the songs of The Beatles, Pearl Jam, David Bowie, and even Guns N' Roses. Welcome to the jungle, kiddies. The latest is a collection of Adele's greatest hits, including Rolling in the Deep. Can't stand another round of John Jacob Jingleheimer Smith? Try putting your newborn to sleep with Fortunate Son by Creedence Clearwater Revival and John Fogerty. And you haven't lived until you've heard Aerosmith's Dude Looks Like a Lady played, well, not with guitars or drums, but mellotrons, vibraphones, and bells. Okay, maybe you're not a fan of the Bayou or Boston Rock and Roll. How about a little Taylor Swift melody, in which the usual pop instruments on Shake It Off are replaced by xylophones and bells? You gotta hear that one. Now, I haven't lost my mind, folks. I'm talking about the growing catalog of Rockabye Baby albums, in which classic rock and modern pop anthems that mom and dad have loved for a lifetime have been adapted for their infants. Even Tipper Gore, those of you who remember Tipper Gore, might approve. So who is Lisa Roth? Well, here's a hint. Her brother once replaced Howard Stern. No? Okay, how about this hint? He's the voice and pretty much the personality of a little California band you might have heard of called Van Halen. Lisa Roth, welcome to Mr. Media.
Thank you, Mr. Media.
Did I get anything wrong so far? Are we on good territory?
I think we're doing okay.
All right.
Elevator music, I'm not sure, but we have a ways for you to prove yourself.
Okay, all right, fair enough. And I got to tell you, if they ever build a time machine, I want you to please, please, please take me back 20 years and save me from having to listen to all that crappy baby music I endured because your stuff wasn't available yet.
Well, baby music is cool. Wheels on the Bus Go Around.
No.
Is great.
Oh, God.
But lullaby renditions of Metallica's Enter Sandman is greater. So
greater by a power of about 10,000, I would say.
Well, it was created for the adult like you. It's a baby product created with the adult in mind.
Well, and so tell people how this came about. This was, it sounds from what I read, like it was almost accidental. It wasn't that you were out looking for this.
Necessity is the mother of invention. I was shopping for a baby shower gift about 11 years ago when I first started working at the label here, CMH Label Group. And the person I was buying the gift for loved music, and I thought, easy, I'm going to find some great baby music, and that's my gift. And I saw nothing out there that appealed to me. And I wanted to give a gift that I'd be excited to give that was a reflection of my taste. And I thought, I just started working at a label. I think we can do something about this. I went back to work, and my coworker at the time, Valerie Aiello, had a similar idea. And we put our heads together along with a team of other people here. And a year later, Rockabye Baby was born.
Yeah. And do the artists whose work you're adapting, do they tend to know that this is even happening?
Sometimes they do. We've been mentioned by a lot of artists. Steven Tyler wrote our liner notes for our Aerosmith. Elton John spoke about us in the press several times. We license every song. So sometimes an artist will hear about it that way, but very often it's only their publisher that is contacted directly. But we've gotten a lot of positive feedback and press from musicians and other celebrities, for whatever that's worth. It's very nice to hear on our end.
Well, we know that over the years, the attitude of musicians has changed from the days when they would be considered sellouts if they let their music be used for anything, whether it be commercials or you know, they've always made their money from covers. But you know, there's probably a time when they would. Musicians would have thought it very uncool to have their songs be, you know, converted to xylophones and bells, for example. But and now music is licensed so widely for so many different things. I imagine a lot of them don't even know until they get the royalty statement that there might be a baby version of Enter Sandman, for example.
Well, and there is that. They are getting a royalty statement. I think, you know, first and foremost, we're a record label. And we treat all of our recordings, including the Rockabye Baby brand, the way we would any artist. We do it with great care, great pride, from the sound of the recordings to the artwork to the blurbs. It gets a lot of attention, so it's something that they can be proud of, so to speak. We're not making fun. We're huge fans. So there's that. And I think it's all done very well. And I keep the artist in mind. You know, you mentioned my brother, and I grew up watching him work very hard to get to where he is. I mean, you have to remember, this is the 70s before there was The Voice and American Idol and YouTube and social media, when these artists went out and pounded the pavement for a decade before they got so-called discovered. And I remember I had the opportunity as a young person to watch it evolve over the years. The blood, sweat, and tears, the dedication, the driving to every county, hundreds of miles, every night for five sets a night at every wet t-shirt contest there was for years. So I have the utmost regard and respect for what it takes to become a successful artist. And I would never in a million years do anything with these recordings that would mock that or, belittle that.
You had me feeling really bad for your brother right up until the point you said, and every wet t-shirt contest. And I remembered, oh yeah, it's fun too.
Well, and other clubs too. Right. Five sets a night, not all wet t-shirt contests.
but as many as they could find, I suspect. Sorry.
I'm sorry. I shouldn't have even said that. Yeah. The point is they worked hard.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that has always been a very hardworking band. But you always got the sense that there was fun involved. So you mentioned that some of the artists have kind of given shout-outs to the work and the company. What I wondered is, have you ever heard of any of the artists who have wound up, who've talked about playing your music for their own children?
The artists?
Yeah.
Gosh, you know, in interviews, Elton John has spoken about it. In Steven Tyler's footnotes, he talks about sharing it with his grandchildren. Jimmy Fallon talked about it on television. Kate Hudson has talked about it in the press for their kids. But we get a ton of feedback from the fans through social media. They always tell little stories about how it put their twins to sleep or, you know, how much they love listening to it with their children. We get constant positive feedback.
What band was first adapted?
We did three releases, Radiohead, Coldplay, and Metallica.
Wow.
We figured three would make a series. Like, it was a statement, this is going to be a series, and it covered different genres of rock. It started out initially as rock, classic rock, all rock, modern rock, alternative rock. And then in more recent years, we've kind of been looking at who are the rock stars in other genres, because every genre has its rock stars. And we have some hip-hop artists. We have, you mentioned Adele, Taylor Swift. You have to admit they're rock stars in the eyes of the world, and me. So now we're kind of dabbling in other genres.
It seems like you're probably turning things around a little faster, too. I mean, Bad Blood and Shake It Off, the Taylor Swift songs. I mean, those were hits in the last 12 months.
Yeah, we usually know our release schedule a year in advance. We have a schedule that we create. We pick the track list a year in advance. And then if something happens either with production where we have to change the date of a release or there's an album that comes out that is just undeniable, something like that, we play around within that release schedule. And Taylor Swift, we had talked about doing, and I believe we even had a track list, and then we added a couple of the newer releases.
Shake It Off sounds like Shake It Off. I mean, it's the only Taylor Swift song. Well, okay, maybe Bad Blood, but it's the only Taylor Swift song that I can say that I actually know and like and have played, downloaded it, the original, and to listen to it, you know, for babies, I thought, yeah, I mean, I know that song. Just like Dude Looks Like a Lady, Aerosmith.
That's my favorite on the Aerosmith album.
And it's so hysterical. I said to my wife, come here, you got to hear this. Because she loved that song. And she said, what on earth are you listening to?
Well, the idea is to, you know, it's a whole process producing these. It's not as simple as it sounds. And the idea is to soften it and make it palatable for a baby, as if they're sitting there in the recording studio with you, but also retain the original attitude behind it. And that's our goal every time. A little clunk and tinkle with attitude.
You've done 76 of these, if I have the number right. What are some of your favorites?
Well, we've actually done more now, but close.
Okay. What are some of your favorites over the years?
Oh, you know, how many times do you see interviews where people go, what's your favorite song? What's your favorite? How do you say that? I kind of love the whole concept behind what we're doing. And I love it when we hit the mark. when you look like you just stuck your hand in the cookie jar when you weren't supposed to, that little smile, like we just got away with something. And that happens with most of these recordings. I think I love Dude Looks Like a Lady. I like some of the more recent artists because it's very different for us. And I love seeing the feedback. When you do an artist that is huge in the eye of the public, you get a lot of feedback, and that's always fun. I like them all. And our sound and our palette of instruments has changed over time, and it continues to evolve. So that's always fun.
Where did you start, and where are you now? Give me an example of that.
I think that the sound was a little... And you have to remember the artists that we released initially. A lot of heavy metal, classic rock. The sound was maybe a little darker. Fun, but darker. And now I think our palette is a little more whimsical. Also, like I said, retaining the original intention, but a little whimsical, a little more fun. And it's evolving. It just keeps changing.
Well, what I like is the play that you can do in your head with the song titles. I mean, Fortunate Son, of course, was a Vietnam anti-Vietnam song about, you know, the young men whose fathers, let's say, maybe someone last name Trump, who maybe got out of service by being a fortunate son, you know, that type of thing. But then when you see it on a list for songs for a baby, you think Fortunate Son, that's my son, I'm going to play Fortunate Son for my son, or you know, I don't know, Dude Looks Like a Lady, it's amusing to us, but then you think
a little baby boy,
yeah, right. I mean, you know, I mean and Taylor Swift's Bad Blood, which, you know, it's kind of a, you know, so it's fun. I mean, that's part of what made it kind of fun, because the kids don't know, they're at that age, they don't know what's going on. They'll never know that. I mean, in 24 months, they won't remember hearing those songs. However, I guess, you know, the artists kind of hope down the line, they'll have some memory, so when they hear it on the radio, it'll seem familiar to them.
Well, we get feedback all the time that it's not just babies that hear this. There are children now 10, 11 years old who still go to sleep to our albums, and they use them in yoga classes. Students study by them. They're great background music in that they don't overpower if you have to think or do something else, but they're familiar. So it's not like once the baby turns one or two, it's out the window. They continue to listen to them. And I like to think that it's a way for parents to introduce their children to the music that they love and to a part of their life that existed pre-baby that they can, like, bring into their lives as a parent. Very often, you know, there's many things you kind of feel like you have to let go of temporarily when you become a parent. And this way, it's my desire that there be a little bridge between who you were then and who you are now.
Maybe for your next product, you could find a way that parents wouldn't have to let go of sex for such a long time when they become a parent. That's my challenge to you.
That's on the agenda.
All right, you get to work on that, Lisa.
Just play our albums for the babies. They'll be occupied.
it's a lot of fun. I mentioned, and you made reference to your brother. I got to ask, who's
you
older,
made
first
reference
of all?
To him first.
Well, okay, but that's true. I made reference first. Who's older? Sorry.
You're killing me.
You could lie. I would never know the difference.
Hell no. He's my big brother.
Ah.
Yeah. I'm the younger sister.
Okay. Is it just the two of you, or are there other siblings?
No, I have an even younger sister, Allison. She's the baby sister.
And what does Allison
do? I'm the middle child.
Okay. What does Allison do?
Allison does everything. Allison is a very creative person. She's, I kid you not, a makeup artist, a voiceover artist, a stylist, a home stager and decorator, a photographer, and she's brilliant at all of it.
And I got to ask, in the home, is it David Lee or just David or Dave or?
It's hey. It's David to me.
It's David.
Never Dave. Never David Lee. Okay. David. David. Unless I'm pissed. Then it's David Lee. No.
Got it.
That would be our mother.
Yeah. Well, I know, David Letterman's family always refers to him as David, and I know his sister, and it's always David, so I was...
David, kind of, yes.
Would you, I gotta ask, would you have ever guessed growing up that the older brother that you knew would be the person that I think of when I think of David Lee Roth? I mean, are they two different people in your experience?
There's a lot of crossover. It wasn't a surprise. This is interesting, you know, I've never been asked this. But it wasn't a surprise for two reasons. My brother has always been bigger than life. He actually broke my mother's water. He was kicking so hard in the womb. That's
not
serious.
Hard to imagine, having seen him on stage, right?
He was always extremely smart and charismatic, and demanded a lot of attention. And so there was always that. And then his career, like I said, they worked so hard at it for so many years, starting very young, that it was gradual. So it wasn't like one day we all woke up in the household and he's famous. He was a huge personality and a handful in the household growing up, and became more and more known in the music world, in the club scene, again, in all the Southern California counties over a very long gradual period of time. So when it happened, it just was sort of a seamless transition. It was exciting to when they got the record contract, their first contract. But no, not surprising. He's quite, as they say, they broke that mold after him. There, I have never encountered anyone like him in my life. In so many ways.
I got to tell you, as we're talking about it, I'm realizing, I guess he's been a part of my life since I was in high school. I mean, the band...
Me too!
Right? Yeah, I mean, the band got their first record deal in the mid to late 70s, didn't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, while disco was happening, Van Halen and... I think when I think of high school music from my high school years, it was Van Halen and AC/DC and Aerosmith, three bands we've talked about here. And it just occurred to me as we're talking that, God, he's been, you know, been a sound in my life for, well, we won't say how many years that is, but it's a long time. And so, you know, and of course, anyone's career, let alone someone in the public eye, there's a lot of ups and downs, obviously.
Are you doing okay as a result?
No, and I blame it all on him, him and Eddie. It's all their fault. No, I'm, yeah. No, I love that music.
And I'm a proud sister.
Good, good. And you relationship between the two of you today? I mean, here we are, we're talking, and I mean, I can't deny that part of when I was approached about talking to you, you know, when you see that little line, and Lisa is David Lee Roth's sister, you go, well, that's interesting. I hope the product is good. So you already know that I like the product. I got a big kick out of the music. But is that ever, has it been an issue at all to be, you know, sort of promoted as that? Or, you know, does that get in the way of your own situation?
You know, again, early on, it was so gradual. But even like in high school, before there was Van Halen, my brother was very popular, a bit of a rebel, very popular. And I remember seniors. I was a freshman in high school when my brother was a senior. And I had girls, the prettiest, most popular senior girls, coming up to me and complimenting me on my boots or my midi coat or whatever. And I remember my brother coming up to me and saying, "That's all great, but you have to be careful and try to figure out in your life why people like you." And that was sort of the first lesson. He was popular then. So in answer to your question, look, it, I know, you know, our whatever articles you've seen or whatever, they will very often mention he's my brother. And it goes far. It's much more interesting to people than our lullaby series very often. And that's fine. And you know what? It's a part of who I am. I always make it a point to not say anything to anyone about my brother. I never mentioned it here at work for a year that he was my brother. And one of my coworkers came up to me one day and goes, "You want to hear something funny? So-and-so told me that David Lee Roth is your brother. Isn't that hilarious?" And she turned around and left. So, because I like to see how people are with me before they know something like that. That's the ideal. And that happens quite often. When it doesn't happen, when people know, I'm proud of him. And again, it's part of who I am. It's part of my reality. And because of it, I've had experiences and insights, and I've gained knowledge and have done things that most people don't get to do or see or be or hear in a lifetime. And it's very special, very special. You know, I had an experience during their last tour, or maybe it was the one before. They played at the Staples Center in Los Angeles, and I showed up early, and I walked into the Staples Center, and there was no one in there but the roadies setting up the LED, you know, screens all the way around that place, huge, and there were pictures of my brother on there doing his, you know, splits and herding sheep with his sheep dogs. And like, there was all kinds of stuff going in this very quiet, dark, huge venue, and the tiny roadies up on the stage. And I was standing there looking 360 degrees, turning around, looking at the screen of my brother, and knowing that in about an hour and a half, he was going to have this place full and every person was going to be wrapped around his finger. And I got, like I am now, great. This is embarrassing. No, this you cut this?
No, it's very sweet.
I got very emotional because it's a very special experience I get to have that most people don't. So it's not all a bad thing. Yes, I wish I walked in a room before my brother's name did most of the time, but that's life, and it's not such a bad life.
Sure, sure.
And how's that for a long-winded answer?
It's a wonderful answer.
I'm exhausted.
It's a wonderful answer, and it's nice that your brother means, I'm sure your sister means as much to you as your brother does, because they're your siblings. But it's nice that, you know, for you have a sibling in the public eye that way, and that you feel that way. I think that's wonderful. Who would?
Well, I feel as equally strongly about my sister and proud. And she's been in films and in the public eye, too. So I'm the poor middle child.
You seem like you're doing okay.
I'm doing good.
You're doing just fine, I think. Last question about that. You, Allison, and David, who has the best hair?
Well, honey.
Oh, that's what I was thinking, to tell you the truth.
Need you ask.
I haven't met Allison, but you've got a pretty good head of hair on you.
Do I?
Yeah.
Not bad for an old broad.
Oh, man. No, not bad at all. Not bad at all.
Thank you.
All right, so let's come back to where we started. So there are 76 plus albums out. What, and you know what's ahead for the next year? Can you give us kind of a taste of what, you know, what new albums there'll be?
Yeah, I don't like to tell tales out of school because we like to play around with it and tease it on social media. I will tell you, our upcoming schedule has some juicy stuff in it, good ones. Also, this year is our 10th anniversary, 10 years that we've been producing Rockabye Baby. So we have a special birthday party compilation coming out. And we'll probably do some other special fun things for our birthday. I know it's not fair to not like give names, but
okay. But
people, keep your eyes out. Visit us on our website and on social media, and you'll see.
Well, so I have one more question about that. So you can go on, you can go to your website, you can go to Amazon, other places, and buy the music. Do you have to download like a whole Fall Out Boy album? Can you pick and choose? Can you download individual tracks? How does that work?
Oh, yeah. First of all, we still sell a lot of CDs because it's a baby gift. How awesome is that, that we're not only in the music industry at a very weird time, but we're also in the baby industry, and we're a great baby gift. So you can find our CDs on our website, Amazon, boutiques, and specialty stores. You can also download us iTunes. You can go to our website, but we're streaming on Spotify, Apple Music. We're on Pandora. You can hear us on the Kids Place channel on Sirius. So you can stream us, download us, stick a CD in a CD player. We're coming at you in every way possible.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, folks, listen, you can order Rockabye Baby music, whether it be CDs or downloads, or listen to it, as Lisa said, on Spotify, on iTunes, all kinds of places. But you can order, if you want to order, you can order it from great music stores and baby stores everywhere, or you can order them right now, at a great price on MrMedia.com. If you're watching this video on MrMedia.com, below the video, either to the left or to the right, that might be the right or the left, I'm not sure, everything is reversed. Wherever, underneath the video, you'll see covers of the albums, and you can just click on that. And for the downloads, you can have the music instantly, or if you order the CDs, you could have it in a day or so from Amazon. So go do that. You want to give out the website address, Lisa?
Yes, we're rockabyebabymusic.com. And can I ask you a question?
Sure.
What would you want to hear Rockabye next? You might not be familiar with everything we've done already, but give us a few and we'll consider them.
Wow. You know, it's funny. I have the Fall Out Boy CD, and the only Fall Out Boy song that I actually know is the Uma Thurman song. And so I would love to hear that. I don't know. That's a great question. I hadn't really thought about it.
Well, who do you love? Old, new?
You know, that's funny. You know, I like a lot of everything, but what's that? You know, there's a new song. this would be a great one. This would make a lot of people laugh. You know the song S.O.B.? It's, you know, every so often he shouts out, "Son of a bitch! Bring me a drink!"
Oh, no. You know what? I'm thinking of B.O.B. No.
Oh, yeah, no, that's different.
And I love B.O.B.
Oh, okay. When we get done, I'll send you a link to the SOB song.
Think about it. Yeah. And maybe some of the people who are watching can throw out some of their favorites they'd love to see rockabye.
Well, and I was just going to ask, actually, if people can reach you on Twitter, Facebook, or social media.
All of the above. If they go to our website, they can just
the buttons
click
are there.
Our icons. And we communicate back. And we reread and we watch all day, every day, what's being said, asked for. And we will get back to you. And this is how we choose our release schedule. We have polls on our site. We watch what's being said on social media. We take it all in for real.
Well, so folks, there you go. If there's something you really want to hear through Rockabye Music, you can find Lisa, find the company on Twitter, Facebook, all those places. Through their site, all the links are there. Just click and send them a note. Tell them, hey, I really want to hear Bruce. I want to hear SOB.
Or B.O.B.
Or B.O.B.
Oh, is that you? Are you B.O.B.?
I am B.O.B., yes. That's.
Oh, my God, you don't look anything like you sound.
No, I know. Well, I wear a wig. Also, I usually wear a wig and no glasses because, you know. Oh. You know, bald and glasses, not cool.
Oh, it's cool.
You know, I kind of grew out of cool. Actually, I don't know that I ever was cool. Even when I was listening to your brother, I don't know that I was ever cool. But this
me
is
neither.
What you get. I'm sure you did okay. Listen, Lisa Roth, it was a lot of fun. It was a pleasure to meet you. I enjoy the music quite a bit, way more than I ever expected that I would, and it's just so much fun. And I have some CDs that some friends with babies will be enjoying very soon. And thank you so much for joining us on Mr. Media.
Thank you, Bob. Thank you for being interested. We appreciate it, really.
Media is recorded live before a studio audience full of 5-year-old musicians whose parents think they might be starting a little too late in the biz to ever be successful in the new media capital of the world, St. Petersburg, Florida. Okay, before you go, I just want to remind you that Audible.com was our sponsor today, and you can get a free audiobook. A free audiobook with a 30-day trial today by signing up at www.audible.com/trynow. TRYNOW. Again, a free audiobook with a 30-day trial today by signing up at www.audible.com/trynow. I don't know about you, but that Johnny Cash biography, as read by Kris Kristofferson, I think I'm going to grab that one right now.